Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
And this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
We'd like to welcome you to Come and Reason Together through the Scriptures. Though our sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. We are in Mark chapter 7, verse 1, and this context is 1 through 23. We are in a series that started back in Mark chapter 1. I mentioned this before, that started back with Jesus getting baptized and then being tempted and starting his ministry. That started back in 1, verse 9. And this is another and. All these scriptures are tied together that talks about it came to pass in those days. He's telling a whole story that begins with Jesus being tempted, him being baptized, starting his ministry, and all these are walking with him from then on, gathering the 12 apostles together, selecting the 12, gathering them one by one. And he'd even sent them out once by themselves. But this is all walking with Jesus, his 12 disciples walking with Jesus. And now we've gotten to this point where a lot of things have happened. His reputation is building. They're coming. They hear about him. They see him in the land of Gennesaret. And all of a sudden, crowds are coming out. And we've seen him feed the thousands, feed the 5,000s. And they were acting like waiters in a restaurant. So this is the book of service. And you see him teaching his disciples how to wait on tables, how to feed people. And we're even talking about the gospel, feed them the gospel, the word of God. And then the sick were brought to him and how to heal the sick. And so this whole region, the villages and the country were turned into a big emergency room, urgent care. And they have to learn how to be, Jesus is the great physician. So they had to learn how to be nurses and aides and so on. Who works the hardest in hospitals?
Support service, the nurses.
And the aides.
Yes.
Oh, they're doing rough work, and they're having to work hard. And when do they have to work there? What's their, you know, if somebody, if the red light goes on, what's?
That means they work right now.
Immediate.
Immediately.
Immediate in a restaurant, immediate in the emergency room, urgent care. And this is, now the Pharisees come, we're going to see this, and he has got a reputation because, and people from all over are bringing the sick, and that he might just heal them, and even if they would just touch the hem of his garment, they would be healed. Now here come the religious people because they're emptying the churches, and they're called the Pharisees, the religious leaders.
Chapter 7, verse 1. And the Pharisees gather unto him and certain of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, and seen that some of his disciples ate their loaves with defiled, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands diligently, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders and coming from the market, except they sprinkle themselves. They eat not, and many other things there are which they have received to hold, the washings of cups and pots and brazen vessels. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with defiled hands? And he said to them, Isaiah well prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commands of men. Leaving the commandment of God, you hold fast the tradition of men. And he said to them, Well, you reject the commandment of God, that you keep your tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso speaks evil of father or mother, let him end in death. But you say, If a man say to his father or mother, That wherewith thou mayest have been profited by me is Corban, which is given to God, you no longer suffer him to do anything for his father or mother, making void the word of God by your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like you do. And he called to him the crowd again and said to them, Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing from without the man that is going to defile him, but the things proceeding out of the man are what defile the man. And when he entered into the house from the crowd, his disciples asked him the parable. And he saith to them, Are you so without understanding also? Perceive you not that whatever from without goes into a man, it cannot defile the man, because it goes not into his heart, but into the belly and goes out into the draught. This he said, making all meats clean. And he said, What proceedeth out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, from out of the heart of men, proceed evil reasonings, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetings, wickednesses, guile, lasciviousness, an evil eye, railing, pride, foolishness. All these evils proceed from within and defile the man.
This is a really interesting context. You could see that this is now the religious leaders have come and they're looking at traditions. They're used to traditions of men, and this is a new kingdom. We learned in Matthew, Jesus introduced us, and so that's the first step. We always have to remember that first step to change our minds. And he's introducing and he says, Come and follow me. And Jesus is of another kingdom. He's of the kingdom of the heavens. And men's traditions have got to go. It sounds like Fiddler on the Roof, doesn't it? Traditions. And they do get in the way, the traditions of men. And at the end of this, Andy was reading and it hit him about all the things that proceed out of man's heart and defile the heart. It's not the traditions of washing. It's not about washing your hands. There's something totally wrong with a man's heart. So Jesus is going to get to the heart of things.
And he exposes this. Before it was just a person's heart is not right. But now Jesus makes a list. So if you wanted to write down a list for yourself, the things that are within the heart, that's not the good heart, it's the bad heart, the heart that needs to be recreated. In the bad heart, what's in there is evil reasonings, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetings, wickedness, guile, lasciviousness, evil eye, railing, pride, and foolishness. All these evils proceed from within and defile the man. So this is what every man's heart is like until he gets a new heart created in him from God.
So that word about that hard heart, where was that? That was the context back in chapter 6, verses 45 through 52. And they were worried about the loaves and so on. They were worried about details, traditions, and so on, and how to eat. When does it say when they were looking back Were they even thinking back at this time that they were eating? They might have even been looking about this time when Jesus fed the 5,000, how they were eating with unwashed hands and so on. And Jesus, and he says, and their heart was hardened, even his 12. A man's heart is still hardened until his heart becomes circumcised, and that will not happen until the book of Acts. And that happens when the new kingdom is brought about. All of this, Jesus is teaching what is going to happen in this new kingdom. Jesus is walking in this new kingdom because he's the Son of God. But man hasn't yet been raised to that. And Jesus is showing his disciples what will happen, the types of healings and the raising from the dead and so on. He's showing them what happens with this new kingdom.
Yeah, this sounds like, Gil, in the very first verses of verse 7, that when the 5,000 ate, that the Pharisees were around there, and it says that they gather unto him certain of the scribes who'd come from Jerusalem, and they'd seen some of the disciples that ate the loaves. So they were watching what they were doing when they distributed all this bread and eating this bread, and that they were finding fault with it because they didn't first wash their hands in this specific way. That, and they were like viewing the 5,000 process, not even thinking about any, not looking at the wonder of that. They were just noticed, oh, okay, but they're not washing their hands.
Oh, somebody's raised from the dead, but
not washing their hands.
Oh, somebody's being healed, never walked in his life.
Not washing their hands.
How about,
this is their big move. Their big move was about the unwashed hands. Everything else that they'd seen happen, they paid no attention to, were just want to make sure the hands get washed.
Do we see this in the world today with some of the judgments they're making and some of the people they're suing? And it tends to be, and somebody on their side can murder somebody. Somebody on their side can be treasonous. But on the other side, they didn't wash their hands. I see that today.
Well, back in Matthew, Jesus had a word to say to him about this. He said that they strained out a gnat and they swallowed a camel. Now, the camel here is the washed hands. They're just swallowing that. They're doing everything backwards, not noticing anything that's going on, only letting their tradition guide them and be their button of what they're mad about. They were mad about something instead of wonder and in wonderment and glory of what God was doing. They were only mad about somebody breaking their tradition.
They had a gnat in their throat and they were calling it a camel.
Yes.
They had this little teeny and a gnat.
And it was nothing.
You can swallow a gnat. You probably have swallowed a few in your life eating. Do you think you've swallowed one or two?
I'm from North Carolina. Yeah, I'm sure I've swallowed some gnats. I got a lot of gnats.
Yeah.
There.
But would you notice it if you swallowed a camel?
Yeah, you choked to death.
It'd be the end of your life right there. Well, this could be the end of their lives. Here are the religious leaders. They're worrying about the teeniest detail, which is meaningless.
And I've looked into this a little bit about the washing of the hands, and they had not just washing the hands. You had to do it a certain way. You had to hold your hands a certain way and like take your fist and push it into your other hand. It was a very specific hand washing method. I don't know how many people have monitored you when you wash your hands, but they had a monitoring method for hand washing.
We have a certain friend that is a dentist, and he definitely washes his hands.
Like it's a surgeon or something.
Like a dentist. And
yes.
He does it every day. But so these people they thought they were surgeons.
They did.
And they were picking on that. Now, you'd want your surgeon friend, you know, either dental or working on your heart, you definitely want them to wash their hands like that, but not this. They're going way too far. It's ridiculous. And they were just looking for an excuse.
And they had certain ways, too, that you have to wash cups a certain way. and you have to wash pots a certain way and bronze vessels a certain way. And all of this, they were making that to be something that was righteous.
You know, within our friends and family, people that we're very close to, maybe not of our family, but we have the same heart and mind and so on. Some people rinse their dishes thoroughly before they put them in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
And others, you could have a banana stuck to it, and they, I'm being funny. You know, here's a big peanut butter sandwich still on it, and they like it in there. It's not quite that far, but they actually insist on having some dirt on it that it supposedly is easier on your dishes and the dishwasher, they say. I don't know. I'm kind of the clean your plates a little bit before you put them in school. And everybody's, but does that make any difference? Like, who cares, Andy? Do you spend time thinking about that?
These guys' religion or their belief structure was focused totally on the physical, and they were not spiritual thinking people at all.
I'm staying at people we call Dale and Julie's. And guess what? I had not read this ahead of time. And we got into a slight discussion because I was at their house. I wanted to know what their method was so I could follow their method, because it doesn't make any difference to me. It does in my house, because apparently I do it a certain way, so it makes a bit of a difference. But they happen to be of exactly the same school I'm of. But then there's other people, if they want to leave a little bit on their plates or whatever they want, I'll do it that way. I was just asked, but isn't it funny? I specifically asked the lady of the house.
What would you like?
What would you like? I'll go with your way. You know, who cares about the tradition of men? But I wanted to respect the lady of the house. So, and I probably haven't been asked that question in a long, long time. Matter of fact, why did I even bring this up? But it's funny how trivial people can get. When you're mad about something, people will bring something up like the who cares. and it's like a big lawyer's point, and you're going like, that made you upset? And it gets to the point of ridiculous, doesn't it? Because they are going so low into the bin of what's important. They're going below the floor. We're talking the basement. I'm talking five cellars down. They get into that level to dig up one little point because they're upset.
Well, then they went to the next part and says, why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders? So now we're going to make it the tradition, not just mine. It's the tradition of the elders. And
do you think God cares about the tradition of the elders?
Well, we're going to find out. And he said, and here's Jesus' answer to him. They're all of this about the hand-washing tradition of the elders. And Jesus says, Isaiah well prophesied of you hypocrites. So there you go. Isaiah's telling about it, and you guys are hypocrites. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So they've not even teaching God's commandments anymore. They've got men's commandments that they're teaching, and they're hypocrites.
How do you get your lips so close to God and your heart is so far from them? That's a definite detachment, isn't it?
That's a way to tell. It says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So those things should mirror each other.
Right.
And in this instance, the mouth is saying one thing.
It's separated.
And there's a bad heart in there.
Yeah.
If there's a bad heart and the lips match the heart, so it's going to be a bad message. These guys have bad messages coming out of their mouth.
And they supposedly honor God. They say praise the Lord. They still say hallelujah and praise the Lord. But their heart is not with God, so that praise the Lord lip is way different than his heart.
And he said they leave the commandments of God and they teach their traditions of men. That's what they do. I mean, there's not any middle ground there. They just literally walk away from God's commandments and teach the commandments of men. And then he makes examples of it. Jesus makes, he gets detailed in the examples that they do.
So you cannot even honor your father and mother, but if you do the little gnat, you can throw the camel, the commandment, which is the size of a camel, you can throw that away.
But if you swallow yourself a gnat.
And bow down to a gnat.
And you're good.
Yeah. What's unimportant and has no weight, and throw away a weightier, something that is definitely, a camel's going to tip the scales. But a gnat, you won't even see it. If a gnat sits on your scale, you will not see it. If an elephant, if a camel sits on your scale, it might ruin it because it's way too heavy. It's 1,000. How much does a camel weigh? Over 1,000 pounds, like a horse? Maybe a couple thousand.
It's in there. It's 1,000. Yeah, I would say 1,000 to 1,500. They're a big animal.
Now, if Brett were here, I'd put him on that. Yeah, find out how much a camel weighs. Maybe. Anyway, what were you going to say, Andy?
And then he called to him the crowd and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside of the man that is going to defile him, but the things coming out of a man are what defile him." He made that a very basic statement. And when he entered the house from the crowd, the disciples asked him the parable. And he says to them, "Are you without understanding also?" Well, were they without understanding also? Yes, because they didn't know. "Perceive you not that whatever comes from without goes into the man? It cannot defile him, because it goes not into his heart, but into his belly and out in the draught. This he said, making all meats clean. And he said, what proceeds out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil reasonings, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetings, wickednesses, guile, lasciviousness, evil eye, railing, pride, and foolishness. All these evils proceed from within and defile the man."
I counted about 13 things that defile the man. This is a specific list of the things. So if we are doing any of these, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetings, wickedness, guile is not being honest. Lasciviousness is being, you know, showing off your body a little too much. An evil eye, railing, you know, speaking bad about a person, pride, foolishness. He lists exactly those things that defile is, they defile the heart. They corrupt the heart and make it wicked, make it evil.
And it exposes itself by coming out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. It's what exposed. What's really
in your heart will come out of your mouth.
You might try to hide it for a while, but it will come out.
And you might be good around certain people.
Yeah.
But then it comes out.
I've noticed some just don't say anything for an hour or two or three. But somewhere along the way, if they have an evil heart, it will come out. That's 52, 53 years of experience with watching, you know, things like this. So
Jesus said quite a bit to the Pharisees and the scribes that were here.
He was actually talking to the religious leaders. He was saying, he revealed to all the people their hearts. These are religious leaders. This is their heart, and it will be exposed. If they are nitpicky, if they're gnat picky, I made that up. Do you like gnat picky? Little things. If they're that way, they don't have Christ's mind and heart. He wasn't too kind to them because they were wicked and they were leading the people astray. They were not healing the people. This got exposed when everything Jesus was around got fed and got taken care of. They weren't taking care of them. They got healed. They were just bringing people in by the truckload from all over. And they were filling the cities and the countryside and so on with these people that needed healing. They were being healed. And it was exposing the gnat pickers. Next context, we are in Mark 7, 24 through 30.
And from thence he arose and went away into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered into a house and would have no one know it, and he could not be hid. But straightway a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, having heard of him, came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by race, and she asked him that he cast forth the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Lest thou first the children be filled, for it is not well to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." But she answered and says to him, "Yea, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat of the crumbs of the children." And he said to her, "For this saying, go. The demon is gone out of your daughter." And she went away unto her house and found the child laid upon the bed and the demon gone out.
Now, if you're a normal person and don't know the Lord, is this a normal story, Andy? Or is there something really unusual about this story?
This is an unusual story.
Isn't that rather funny? And the Lord throws this out here. Oh, by the way, this is still part of walking with the disciples. He arose, he personally, it doesn't say anything about the disciples, does it?
No.
And he goes into a house, and it's a woman whose little daughter is demon-possessed, has an unclean spirit. That's another way of saying demon-possessed. You know, it's an interesting thing to know what these demons are. And I'm not going to go into that now, but if you ever want to hear about creation, it explains exactly where, and they're not fallen angels, because every angel that has fallen, I believe it's in the book of Jude, it's there. They're reserved already in Tartarus. They're reserved in everlasting chains. So if they're reserved right now in everlasting chains, the demons cannot be. Somebody that made that up hasn't read their whole Bible. Here's a place that says exactly what they're not. But they have human tendencies. They have all the tendencies that we have. By the way, sex perversion cannot come from an angel because they have no sex. They're neither male nor female. They don't reproduce. They don't know anything about that. They don't have that desire. Everything a demon has is a lust that a man has, but it's to the nth degree. And I'll just give you that to think about if you're listening to this, but you've got to listen to creation. It tells you where they came from. And they're not angels. It's impossible. We are going to have to continue this later. We've come to an end. And until we meet again, we'll just keep on discussing this, but you'll have to join us again. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.